planned, and his commanding tone had my cock hard and aching with a steady thrum that countered the twinges in my ankle. He returned with a bucket of ice. As he used it to fill a large zipper-top plastic bag, he looked me over like I was the last slice of that pizza from dinner. "You knock this off, and I'm going to be very disappointed. Don't disappoint me." He pushed a pillow under my foot and arranged the ice on it. He set the half-full bucket on the nightstand next to me. "Ah, fuck, that's cold." "Oh, you haven't seen anything yet." His smile was pure mischief. Rummaging in his bag, he came up with the quick-release cuffs. "I need to make sure you're not going to wiggle around." There was a question in his eyes, so I nodded. I liked how he could control a scene but still give me significant choice. Sitting on the bed next to me, he bound both of my hands to the flimsy headboard. I expected him to whip out one of the floggers next, so I was totally unprepared for his kiss. This was still new for us, and it was the first time he'd kissed me during a scene. Being restrained while he owned my mouth made my pulse hum. His tongue delved deep as his hand tangled in my hair. His commanding mouth promised all manner of dirty things and had me moaning in no time flat. I was breathing hard by the time he pulled back. "Close your eyes," he ordered. There was a rustling sound, and then something soft covered my eyes. He moved slowly enough that I had ample time to say no. But even though blindfolds weren't a huge kink of mine, I didn't object. I wanted to discover what he had planned. "Remember, keep your foot still no matter what. Keep that ice pack on." "Okay." My throat felt thick, and the need to please him coursed through me. Again, I expected the bite of pain any second. So an icy rush down my shoulder had me gasping. "Fuck. Cold, fuck. We're just getting started." He followed the cold sting with his hot lips. Ice, kiss. Repeating all down my collarbone. My nipples tingled, thinking they were next. But the ice hit my bicep instead. He licked and sucked his way down my inner arm. An area I'd never once thought of as a turn-on. But it made my cock twitch. I wasn't usually one to get self-conscious, but I was still glad I'd taken that shower before dinner. After my arms, my good leg was his new target, ice tracing patterns on my thigh before his mouth followed. Maddeningly, he didn't go near my cock, instead attacking my abs. I tried to pay attention to what he was drawing with the ice. Felt like words, or maybe loopy hearts, but I was drifting too much to put together the clues. His mouth was more aggressive now, and I knew I'd have marks on my belly and chest from his love bites. He alternatively soothed and tormented with the ice. He finally reached my nipples, but he was a devil, icing one while he pinched and sucked the other before switching sides. "Thought you'd flog me," I managed to pant. "This is more fun." He resumed his torture of my nipples, making my hips rock before I remembered the ice pack on my foot. My cock was in agony, so much that when the ice touched it at last, I moaned with relief. But it was short-lived, as he only did the briefest of teases before moving to my balls. "Oh, fuck no. No, go back to my chest." "Who's in charge?" he asked right before mouthing my balls. The ice was evil, almost too much, but then his mouth redeemed him, flicking and dancing over the sensitive flesh. The ice found my inner thighs next, cold tingles racing up my spine before his mouth soothed. His goatee tickled, adding to the sensation overload. He urged my good leg up and back, opening me to a new assault, this one along my ass. This time I figured correctly where he was headed, and I moaned even before he reached my rim. I hadn't had this in years, and my cock leaked against my stomach as his agile tongue fluttered over me. I had a feeling this was a novelty for him, too, but he was damn good at it for a newbie, tracing circles with his tongue before finding all the spots that made me groan while he sucked. I heard the snick of a bottle open seconds before a slick finger joined his tongue. Yeah, fuck me. Oh, not yet. His breath was hot against my chilled skin. You're going to beg me for it. He worked a finger in, aiming right for my gland. And as if that wasn't enough, his free hand found an ice cube and held it to my nipple while he lined up a second finger. Fuck. Please. Need it. That's it. He rearranged himself so that he could suck my cold nipple while his fingers went deep. Felt like he might have three in now. He knew how to work my gland, too, hitting it with each thrust, varying the pressure until it was hard to breathe. Logan, come on, I'm ready. So demanding. You gonna stay still for me? I'd totally forgotten I even owned an ankle, let alone that it hurt. Uh-huh, please. He withdrew his fingers, and rustling sounds were sweet relief, as I could guess he was undressing. Finally, I groaned my need. Not being able to see him was torture. There was a telltale ripping sound. Condom. Good. Soon. Please, fuck me. Now. He pushed my bent leg further back, hooking it over his elbow before his cock nudged my hole. I was plenty slick and ready, but the first thrust still had me hissing. That's it. Let me in. His voice was gentle but firm, just like this whole experience. I'd had all manner of pain play over the years, but nothing that had undone me like Logan in a few ice cubes. He'd taken care of me, sent me soaring, surprised and delighted and tortured. I'd never known anything like it. His cock slipped deeper, and we both groaned. Fuck, I needed this so bad. Needed things I hadn't let myself realize until he came along. Fuck me. Take me. Don't leave me. Stay. All sorts of words bubbled up in my throat, but I managed to hold them back. You want it hard? Yes, do it. Give it to me. Ragged moans filled the air as he sped up, slamming deeper. Any hesitation or nervousness he'd had the first time we'd fucked was gone now. And this was a master. One who calculated every angle, every thrust. He owned me. Mouth, flesh, ass. Everything I had to give was his for the taking. Touch my cock, I begged, pulling on the cuffs. Fuck, I need to see you. He pushed my blindfold up, and I blinked against the sudden light. But when my vision cleared, what a sight he made. His pupils were blown, face slack with pleasure as he slid deep over and over, and his eyes never left mine, staring so intently I wondered what he was seeing. Trust, tenderness, appreciation, lust. That was all there, hanging between us, each look laced with more and more emotion until I couldn't stop myself from moaning. Need you, Logan. Need you. I've got you. His hand gripped my cock, and he started a slick slide that matched his thrusts. You gonna come for me? Fuck yes. My body was sprinting toward orgasm, senses on overload. Felt like it might char me through, but I still wanted it. Welcomed the heat and burn and promise of enough pleasure to fry my already sizzling nerves. He was going to be the end of me, and I wanted it. Come for me, now. His hand tightened, but it was the command that sent me over. I could deny this man nothing at all. Logan! My body buckled, and my forgotten ice pack hit the floor with a smacking noise. God, I'm coming. He thrust hard and fast, face clenching, neck taut with pleasure. His eyes were screwed shut, but at the last second, they fluttered open, and the depth of emotion there hit me like a punch. He cared. It was there in every touch, every look, every thrust. And damn it, so did I. I wanted good things for him, wanted his pleasure more than my own. I looked away first. I didn't want this, hadn't asked for it, yet here we were. And fuck if I knew what to do with it. He pulled out, undid my cuffs, and for the first time I utterly craved his caretaking. The way he rubbed my wrists, got my ice pack back in place, cleaned me up, and then cuddled me close. His whispered praise was the best drug on the planet. I let myself revel in the warmth of his affection. He was everything I hadn't let myself acknowledge missing, let alone needing, but I did. Tightly locked, hidden places inside my soul soaked in his attention, barren soil that had stopped even waiting for rain. I might not know what to do with the emotions rolling around in my chest, but all I knew was that I was no longer strong enough to shove Logan away.
17. Logan. Even after we switched to the other bed, Curtis stayed close to me all night. It was everything I'd ever wanted, and nothing I'd expected. The sex had been a revelation, kinky and loving at the same time, an emotional power trip as he'd submitted to me. And he felt it too. I could tell by his eyes, by the way he went pliant in my arms. Things were changing between us, encounter by encounter, moment by moment, and while it scared me, I also reveled in it. I would have happily spent all Saturday in bed, losing myself in him and these feelings, but there was a second day of carving to see to. Being a weekend day with slightly warmer weather, there was more tourist traffic. That meant more customers for me to try to win over, while Curtis carved. And the carving itself was becoming serious, with grim-faced carvers racing to get pieces done before the afternoon auction for charity. Curtis himself was in some sort of robotic trance, churning out small pieces that sold as fast as he got them done, and moving between several big pieces at the same time. He was absolutely a performance artist, larger than life, and I couldn't believe that this was the same guy who'd been in my arms hours earlier, begging me for relief. Power and muscle and charisma. And it was all mine. It wasn't that far from being able to harness lightning, and I was about that awestruck at my luck. His charity piece was a moose head on a pedestal decorated with fish and river stones. "You going to have it done by 4? I asked when I made him take a quick break for food.
"Yep."
He shook his fist at the wood like it personally had offended him.
"It's coming. That and Betty's monkey."
The monkey was adorable in a whimsical pose, holding a platter that could be used for a beverage or plant. Betty and Bert forked over a nice-sized check for the privilege of figuring out how to get it home.
"Man, it is so nice to see Curtis carving happy again."
Gloria came by after lunch. I liked her and Walter's daughter a lot. I envied them their motorcycles and matching tattoos and strong, close bond. She patted the top of the monkey.
"Last year was all angry birds who looked ready to peck us all to death."
"He's grieving," I said loyally. "It's a process." A process I really hoped I was helping, not hindering. And I hoped all the lighter carvings were a good sign for us.
"Well, you keep at it."
Troy was something else, but
I think there's something there for you guys, too.
Grrr. I didn't need the reminder that even if what we had was special, that I'd never live up to the sainted Troy. All weekend I'd heard snippets of Troy stories, and the guy seemed like a cross between Santa and a Harley ad. I heard the swirling gossip, too. Everyone loved him. Everyone missed him. Everyone was skeptical that Curtis could ever move on. Including me. Oh, well. All I could do was smile and nod. By 4, I was about tired of smiling, but then Curtis needed my help moving the moose sculpture, and my smile got easy again. I couldn't help it. The piece was easily the best thing anyone had produced all weekend, and Gloria was right. It was definitely a happy moose surrounded by dancing fish. I did that. I made him happy, even if only for a night. I felt strange pride carting the thing over to the display area with him, and it was no surprise when he netted the most bids, raising a hefty sum for the charity, and getting himself several custom orders from the losing bidders.
Curtis.
Another carver, a small man with a pinched face, who hadn't been at dinner last night, came over. His carving of a shark had earned about a third of what Curtis's moose had.
Otis.
Curtis didn't look too happy to converse with him.
See, you have a new boy with you.
Otis's tone made it clear this was not a good thing. He looked me up and down.
Troy that easy to replace?
Otis was damn lucky that Curtis was between me and him because I had some Aikido moves I was dying to test out on his tiny head.
He's just a friend.
Curtis kept his tone even and cool, even as each word made my heart pinch. I suppose I should be glad we'd moved as far as friends, but I didn't want to be his friend, or his just anything. Just a friend, just a ride, just a kid. I didn't want any of it. Otis snorted, but Curtis continued to project his zero-fucks attitude.
You take care now, Otis. I'll see you in June. Reckon I'll be taking home the championship again. I'll be sure and show you the trophy. Someone's going to take you down a peg this year. I've owed me or my brother Earl. We're each twice the carver you are.
Otis puffed himself up like one of those desert lizards.
Trouble?
Walter came ambling over.
They're about to start the burn. Nah, no trouble here.
Curtis gave Otis a measured look before heading to where the 12-foot sculpture of three bears was about to be lit up. I followed him. He was unpleasant.
Eh,
Curtis shrugged.
Maybe. There's all kinds of nasty folks. I don't pay them any mind. Just go out and carve. Otis doesn't have to like it. Sorry if he hurt your feelings.
No, you did. I imitated his shrug.
Nah, I'm used to the kid comments. You're not looking much like one these days.
Curtis's look held more heat than the kindling at the base of the sculpture bonfire, and, okay, that went a ways to making me forget about the friend's comment. We hung back on the edge of the crowd as the bears took flame, a giant bonfire whose heat could be felt even where we stood. The wood popped and crackled, and the scent of burning cedar was heavy in the air. People milled about in clumps, some with drinks, many who seemed to be old friends. Someone had a guitar, and a country melody wove its way through the night.
Man, that's something, I said, admiring the fire.
Yeah, it is,
Curtis said, looking right at me. My skin heated in a way that had nothing to do with the fire. Maybe he was simply thinking ahead to sex back in the hotel room, but I couldn't help but feel Curtis was really seeing me for the first time. The shadows lengthened, full darkness descending,
and Curtis made no move to go find Walter or a friendly group.
"Cold?"
he asked, stepping closer.
"We can go whenever you want."
"No. I want to see it a little longer. It's magical." And it really was. The bonfire. This weekend. This man.
"We'll stay then."
Curtis shocked the stuffing right out of me when he laced our hands together. It was dark and no one was paying us any mind, but it still felt radical, somehow. Like Curtis was flipping off Otis and anyone else who didn't care for him. And I'd had him naked. Marked his body, done kinky sex, waited weeks for that first kiss. And still, this simple act of holding hands threatened to top all of that. This is when our story really begins. My heart leapt and danced, just like the flames licking up the sides of the wooden sculpture. The future was uncertain, and all the doubts about whether I could compete with a ghost weren't going away, but there was a certain rightness about this moment that couldn't be denied. It would be easy to hold back, pretend that I wasn't falling for this man. But then he squeezed my hand, and I knew it was futile. He was probably going to break my heart, and I was still a goner for him. And I was greedy. I wanted 1,000 more moments just like this one, us standing together against the cold. Rest of the world be damned.
Curtis. Something about the fire made me need Logan in the worst way. Maybe it was the big blaze. Maybe it was my record-breaking sales haul for the day, or the high of finishing the pieces. Maybe it was being pissed as fuck at Otis and anyone else who wanted to have an opinion on my personal business. And maybe it was Logan himself. The way he looked at the fire with his eyes all wide and soft. The way he squeezed my hand. The joy on his face, at least part of which I knew I was responsible for. He really did have the most expressive face, and I wanted to see more, revel in the emotions I could cause. I was good, keeping my hands to myself while we loaded up, and he drove to the motel. But the second the door shut behind me, it was on. I pushed him back against the door, claiming his mouth in a hard kiss. His gasp of surprise was fuel to my fire, and I shoved a hand under all his shirts to pull him closer. His phone jingled in his pocket, and his hand flopped around between us. I grabbed his wrist. "Don't even think about it. It could be, and it'll still be just as important in 20 minutes. "Oh, is that all?" He laughed, and I leaned in for another kiss. He didn't pull his hand away, and I used it to tug him toward the bed. Banging him against the door had its appeal, but my knees were exhausted after the long day, even as the rest of my body was raring to go. In between kisses, I pushed his clothes off and fumbled out of mine. Lord, but I hadn't had kisses like this in years and years. Deep ones, drugging ones, soft and gentle ones. Hard and demanding, tongue-fucking, biting, growling. And I wasn't sure which of us was leading. Wasn't sure it even mattered. We ended up in a heap on the bed, me on top. But he wasn't complaining any, yanking me down for another kiss. This wasn't a scene. Wasn't a prearranged sex date. Wasn't a playful morning wake-up. No, this was need. Flat out and all-consuming. Raw, powerful. His fingers dug into my shoulders in a way that made my cock throb. But I wasn't in search of the rush of pain. What I wanted was more of this. I couldn't remember the last time I'd rubbed off with someone, but my body knew what to do. Surging against his, hard cocks dragging across each other. He wrapped his legs around me, holding me tighter as we continued to kiss. Close, he panted. Please. Oh, that was new. Him being the one begging. And I liked it. Tell me what you need, I ordered. Even like this, my whole body lived to serve him. Wanted to turn him on, make him happy. He could have asked for anything right then, and I would have tried to make it happen. Harness the moon, carry the flames, run the ocean. Want to come? He moaned. Need you to touch me? Shifting my weight, I got a hand between us, gripped both our cocks together. Like this? Fuck ya! Yeah. He reached for the lube on the nightstand and drizzled some in his palm. Joining my hand with his, we made a slick channel for our dicks to slide through. It reminded me of holding hands at the fire. There was a promise here. Something new blossoming between us as we shared this connection. It wasn't just me. Wasn't just him. It was both of us, together. Even though the angle was awkward, I kissed him again, needing his mouth even more than I needed the orgasm that was building. Fuck! Fuck! Close! His hips bucked against mine, cock thrusting up faster and harder. The pressure and friction against mine was so good. That's it, baby. Come for me. I nipped at his lips. Gonna get there too. Fuck, Curtis. Need you. You've got me. And he did. He had everything I had to offer, meager though it might be. Nothing I wouldn't give him. Coming? He whimpered seconds before a hot fluid coated both our fists. The added slipperiness allowed me to go faster, and it didn't take much before I was groaning and joining him. It wasn't the deep, lingering orgasm of a fucking, or a long, drawn-out one from a scene. But the crackle and sizzle through my nerve endings charred me, a forest fire springing up from a single match. Didn't matter how we came together. But he took my breath away, consumed me, changed me. Fuck. Something tells me that 20 minutes was a vast overestimation. He laughed as he held me close. Give me another 20 in a shower, and I'll go again. Make it up to you. I pressed a clumsy kiss against his face. Hell, if it gets any better than that, I might not survive. Rolling away, he retrieved his pants and pulled out his phone. Oh, fuck me. He flopped backward onto the bed. Didn't think that was on the table, I drawled, still in a good mood and slightly stupid from the orgasm. But it could be arranged. No one's getting fucked next week, he groaned. My parents are driving down for this coming weekend. They want to support the Valentine's special on Saturday night and talk more about investing. And they can get their sculpture then, too. I thought you were close to them. Don't want to see them? I don't really want to hear again how I look like a mugshot. And if they don't invest, I don't know what Mason's going to do. What we're all going to do. You look damn good to me. I sat up and kissed his shoulder. And I think they love you. They'll get over their snit about a little face fuzz. And you know they'll invest. I guess. He sat up next to me. It's just more stress that I don't need this week. I'm worried enough about the Valentine's dinner. It'll be good. I squeezed his arm. I have a feeling Nash is gonna drag me out since Mason's working the event. And the man thinks it's his new mission to get you more business. You guys are cool, then? He gave me a sheepish look. He lectured me earlier in the week about staying away from you, but I didn't want to piss you off by telling you before we left. He stopped by, I admitted. Gave me the same lecture. But we go way back. Nothing for you to get worried about. Yeah. I was thinking, though. If people are going to know... Oh, no. I knew exactly what he was thinking. Nash figuring things out is one thing. You don't need to go telling your parents anything about this. Why not? They might stop bugging me so much about moving back if they know I've got something here. His smile didn't reach his eyes as he got off the bed. And besides, they want me to be happy, like you said. I didn't mean that. I scrambled off the bed, ignoring the lingering ache in my ankle, heading in the direction of the bathroom. Listen, we've got a good thing going, but I've told you I'm not a meet-the-parents kind of guy. Don't go borrowing trouble when you need them for the business. But you're both important to me. I want them to like you. I snorted. Parents don't like me. Ever. Trust me, it's easier if they don't know. I hated how his face fell, so I held out a hand. Come shower with me. Fine. Logan's tone said he wasn't done with this, not by a long shot. He was such an optimist and undoubtedly had a rosy vision of his parents and me getting along and breaking bread instead of them wanting to break my head for messing with their sweet baby. And I was making things worse by not simply ending this now, telling him without waffling that there was nothing here. But I couldn't stomp on him like that. Not now. Not when even after the bone-melting sex, my body still needed more. I'd said over and over that I didn't do addictions, didn't do luxuries, and he was both. But I wanted to ride this high a little longer. There'd be time enough for us to untangle eventually, time enough for me to regret my own stupidity. But I just wanted to store up a few more memories first.
18. Logan. Your hair hasn't grown any. My mom clucked over me as soon as they were in my house Thursday night. I like it. Truthfully, it hadn't grown any because Curtis had touched it up last night before a quick lesson in goatee shaping. And all that had been foreplay for a blistering scene where I'd flogged him before we'd fucked, clinging together afterward like it might be the last time, which it damn well better not be.
Connie, let him have his hair.
My dad sounded tired after their long drive. If he wants to look like a domestic terrorist suspect, that's his doing. It's a phase. I'm not 15, I reminded him as I carried Mom's suitcase into the spare room, and I don't look like a criminal. Plenty of people around here have a similar look. Dad grunted as he set his suitcase next to Mom's at the foot of the bed.
Well, you'll stick out at the country club next time you visit. But I suppose you don't care about that.
I really didn't, as the country club with our parents had always been far more Seth's scene than mine. But I didn't want to start the weekend by hurting their feelings. I'm sure I can still clean up nicely. I wouldn't want to embarrass you in front of your friends, but honestly, I'm not sure they'd care about a haircut and a few tats.
Tattoos?
My mom gasped.
Tell me you didn't.
Not yet, but probably soon. I'd been quizzing Curtis about his tattoo artist friend over in Eugene. I'd been so jealous of Gloria and Walter's daughter's tats that it felt like it was time for me to take the step. It's not like I'm thinking of one on my forehead. Oh, Logan, I really don't know what to make of this rebellion. Mom let out a soft sigh as she sat on the edge of the bed. It's not a rebellion. I matched her sigh with one of my own. I was 27, not 15, and I was so ready for them to realize that. This is just me discovering myself. And it really was. I'd loved feeling like I'd fit in at the carving festival. Loved looking in the mirror and seeing this guy looking back, didn't miss the preppy shirts and pants. I liked my thicker, hardier clothes and boots. This isn't you. I know you. She shook her head,
and I had to question if she really did. Maybe all they knew was the ideal I'd invariably struggled to live up to.
"We can talk more in the morning."
Dad patted her shoulder.
"Everyone's tired tonight."
I'd always liked how protective he was of her, how he always seemed to know what she was feeling, but right then, it felt very dismissive of me. And I gritted my teeth. Fine. In the morning, I had to go into the tavern, so they worked from my place until after lunch. When I got home, they were getting ready to pick up the sculpture from Curtis, and apparently, Curtis wasn't the only masochist in town, because I'd volunteered to come along and help Dad load it up before I had to be back for the dinner rush. Seeing Curtis, without being able to let on what we were to each other, was going to suck. But not seeing him might suck worse. Having to wonder how things went with my folks when they picked up the sculpture. And so I found myself driving Dad's car to Curtis's shortly after 2. They'd brought the SUV, so there would be plenty of room in the back for the sculpture.
"Wow!"
I exclaimed after we arrived at his place. He had the piece ready to go under the awning, and I couldn't help my wonder at seeing it completed. The oil finish he'd added gleamed, and each painstaking detail really stood out. The troll's impish grin, the tilt of his little hat, the bend in his knees, even his long fingers were defined. "This is one of your best."
"Thanks."
Curtis had an uneasy smile, as if he were afraid that I might throw myself into his arms, which, come on, I had more restraint than that. He needed to trust me. My dad wrote a check to pay for the balance he owed, scowling even though I'd seen him drop that amount on a really nice dinner before. Worried about Dad's back, I made sure I was the one to help Curtis wrestle the heavy sculpture into the rear of the SUV.
Man, this is heavy.
I narrowly avoided cursing.
Maybe this isn't going to fit after all. Oh, it'll fit. I've loaded into far tighter spaces.
I couldn't tell if Curtis was intentionally being dirty, but I snorted like a 7th grader anyway.
Behave.
He growled. Ow! My hand got squashed between the troll and the floor of the SUV. Curtis finished shoving the sculpture in and stepped closer.
Here, let me look. Did it break the skin?
No. I let him take my hand because his touch was too damn nice to pull away from. Just pinched. Nothing's broken.
Good. I like you in one piece.
He gave me a meaningful look, and for a second, I forgot my parents' presence and smiled up at him, close to leaning in and, "Logan, are you hurt?" My mom came over, and Curtis abruptly dropped my hand. "I'm fine," I said, offering her a much more forced smile than the one I'd given Curtis. "You ready to leave, or you find more to buy?"
"We can go."
Dad spoke for her. He was frowning at Curtis, as if there was a lot he wanted to say, and wasn't. Fuck, this was not how I wanted this meeting to unfold. I wanted them to like Curtis, to see him like I did. But they were both glaring at him as if he'd personally injured my hand. Time to go. I'll drive you guys back to my place and head in on the bike for the evening shift. I tried to tell Curtis with my eyes that I'd call later, but he either wasn't paying attention or didn't care because he walked away before we were even done loading up. No trace of the guy who'd kissed me so desperately, only the day before yesterday. Mom waited until we were headed back to my house to speak. "What is going on with you?" "What do you mean?" I wasn't trying to play dumb. There was just so much churning in my head that trying to read her mind was beyond me. "You and the woodcarver. There's something going on there." Her voice was higher pitched than usual. "We're friends. Don't lie to me. I saw your Instagram all weekend. You went away together. That sounds like way more than friendly to me.
Since when is it okay to social media stalk me? I groaned. I hadn't thought about them seeing my pictures from the weekend. I'd been having so much fun taking pictures of the carving and the festival that I hadn't paid attention to little details like how many pictures were of Curtis and what conclusions people might draw.
You're my child. Of course I want to keep up with you.
Yeah, I went to a carving competition. It was fun.
He's a little old for you to be having fun with, Dad said sharply. He's got, what, 20 years on you?
15, I mumbled. Why did he have to make something that didn't bug me sound so dirty and wrong? When Curtis and I were together and alone, I honestly didn't think about the age difference anymore. Sure, he had more experience than me, but that was rapidly coming to mean less and less. What we shared together was what really mattered.
Still, he's taking advantage of your friendship,
Mom pressed as I pulled into my driveway. I flashed back to Wednesday again. Curtis, tied to my bed, red marks over his back from the flogging, him begging to be fucked. If anyone was taking advantage, it was me, goading him into lessons, keeping this going, even after the pretext of the lessons went away. I was getting far more out of this arrangement than Curtis, but I couldn't tell my parents any of that. He's not. He's a good guy, and it's just a casual friendship. I lied, trying to keep my promise to Curtis to not tell them everything. I got out of the car and followed them into the house through the kitchen door.
You deserve far more than a casual friendship, she insisted, seeing straight through my protests. Don't you think so? Don't you think you deserve a real partnership, a relationship you can tell your family about?
Well, now she was hitting at both my deepest wants and strongest fears. I did crave a real partnership with Curtis, one where we could be open about our relationship, one where I could tell my parents exactly how happy he made me. But he didn't want that. And so instead I was stuck with this awkward conversation. I want that, I admitted softly, leaning against a kitchen cabinet.
With someone your own age,
she added quickly, and I groaned. I could practically see the give Seth another chance lecture brewing.
And you'd have better luck doing that back in the Portland area.
My dad's voice was firm, and his face was stern. He took a seat at the table where he'd set up his laptop and paperwork earlier.
I told you, I want to make it here. I love working with my friends. They're counting on me.
My voice came out far thicker than I liked.
I've reviewed all the financial information Mason sent over. I'm just not sure there's a viable business model here.
He gestured at a stack of papers.
All the wanting in the world isn't going to print money for you guys.
My chest throbbed like it had been smacked.
It's a great idea for a business, and it'll pick up when the resort reopens. Tourist season will help, too. It's just been a rough few months.
I'm not sure you can count on that.
Are you saying no to investing?
My voice was hoarse.
Because you're upset about who I'm friends with?
It's not about that.
My father waved my concerns away.
It's about good business sense. And your future. I don't want to watch you squander that away, either personally or professionally.
I'm not. My phone buzzed with a reminder alarm. Time to head to the tavern to ensure the future my parents weren't so certain about.
Look, I've got to get back to work now. We can talk more about this later, but please, don't choose not to invest just because you're frustrated with me.
I'm not ruling anything out.
His voice was gentler now, but his mouth was still a harsh line. This wasn't over, not by a long shot.
I'll see you guys later, and be sure and come by for dinner.
I grabbed my helmet and biking jacket and headed for my bike in the garage. I wanted to make things right with them, and hated being mad at them. And being mad at Curtis sucked, too. Why did he have to be so damn stubborn? Things didn't have to be tense with my parents. Us, acting like a normal couple, not like we were ashamed or hiding something, would have gone a long way. I wasn't down for being his dirty secret, and I had enough to handle with my parents acting all ashamed of what I was becoming. I didn't need it from him, too. I deserved better.
Curtis, I hated seeing Logan leave with his parents. I felt like I let him down somehow, and I worried that his hand was hurt worse than he was letting on. I knew he wanted me to get along with his parents, but I'd lived a good many years. I could tell when people took an active dislike to me, and those two radiated disdain. I was considering whether or not to text Logan, see how his hand was doing, when my phone rang. Janice's number flashed on the screen, and my stomach flopped, same way it always did when Troy's mother called. It was usually some small favor, one I was happy to do, but fresh grief always sprang forth at her greeting despite my best efforts to contain it. "Janice, what can I do for you?" I kept my voice easy. She didn't need any of my bad moods or frustrations.
"Oh, Curtis, I hate bothering you, but it's Chopper. I don't know what to do. He's been throwing up, and he's all sluggish now."
I started putting away my tools even before I answered her. "I'm on my way. You hang tight. Call the vet. See if she can get us in before she closes."
"I can do that."
Janice's voice trembled. Hurrying through cleanup, I flipped my sign to closed and headed to her place where she greeted me at the driveway.
"He doesn't want to move."
"Did you call the vet?" I followed her in, cold sweat running down my back. I didn't know what Janice would do without Chopper, and while he was getting up there in years, I'd hoped we'd have a while before any sort of painful decisions had to be made. Whenever I saw him, I'd see the puppy Troy had carried under his jacket, so sure he was what his mother had needed in her life after her old poodle had passed on.
"Yes, she said to bring him right in."
She showed me to the base of the stairs where Chopper lay breathing hard. "Hey, buddy, not doing so good, huh?" I stroked his flank. "I'll carry him to the truck."
"I got my shoes on. I'll get my pocketbook."
Janice had gone distinctly gray around her lips, shoulders sagging as well. "It's okay." I paused before lifting the dog to pat her shoulder. "You want me to take him on in? I can give you a call as soon as we're there."
"Would you?"
Her eyes were large blue pools of emotion.
"I mean, I should."
"I'd be happy to help. And you're not gonna do Chop any good if you go making yourself sick." I led her to her chair. "Let me do this for you."
"All right."
She gave me a quavering smile.
"You'll call?"
"As soon as I have news, I promise." Scooping up Chopper, I carried him to the truck, got him settled on the passenger side floor. The vet was an older woman around Janice's age with a long braid down her back, Dr. Locklear, and she was the sister to one of Nash's officers.
"Oh, Chopper, what did you do to yourself?"
She stroked his muzzle as I got him settled on the exam table. To me, she said,
"No, Janice."
She wasn't feeling up to the trip out. She's mighty nervous, though, so I'll be calling her with updates.
"All right. We can bill..."
"I'll handle that," I said firmly. I had a feeling this might get pricey, and no way did I want that burden for Janice.
"That's fine."
She felt Chopper's stomach.
"I don't think we're dealing with a blockage, but I'd like to get some diagnostic tests and blood work to give us a better picture of what we're up against. We'll also get him some fluids as he seems very dehydrated."
I called Janice with an update as the doctor took Chopper back for the tests. I hated feeling this helpless. And I hated, too, how this made me think about Troy. All the memories of him helping Janice train Chopper. Hell, even his name was Troy's doing. If we lost Chopper, it would be like losing another piece of Troy. And I just wasn't ready for that. It was a long wait, and I kinda wished I had Logan's phone with that silly fishing game instead of the stacks of pet and decorating magazines. Finally, the vet emerged.
Good news. No blockage.
She led me back to the exam room.
My best guess from the blood work is that he ate something he wasn't supposed to. But the fluids helped enormously, as you can see.
On that note, one of the vet techs led Chopper into the room. He was walking and wagged his tail when he saw me. Relief coursed through me, and my eyes felt suddenly heavy and liquid.
I'd like to see him soon for follow-up blood work, but he seems so markedly improved that I'm not sure we need to keep him overnight. Bland food only. I'll give you a sample of some special chow that may work.
Janice will be relieved to have him back, I'm sure. I petted his head. We handled the special chow, and the not insignificant bill, and then I drove back to Janice's with a much more energetic Chopper sitting on the seat next to me.
Oh, I'm so glad he's okay.
Janice's eyes were bright with unshed tears as she greeted Chopper and me in the driveway.
Thank you so much. Don't know what I would have done if you hadn't answered the phone.
Anytime. Anything for you, I said. And meant it.
I thought you might be too busy. Well, with all that's going on with you.
Her voice was a bit sharper as she led Chopper to his bed in the living room. She had the room much too warm again, and sweat beaded up along my collar. What do you mean? I asked. Janice wasn't usually one to trot out sarcasm, but she'd had quite the scare, so I was inclined to forgive her tone.
Del Hawkins delivered my groceries while you were gone. He saw fit to tell me he's worried about you, keeping company with some young kid.
Frowning, she shook her head. Fuck. I figured my business was getting around town, but I hadn't thought about Janice maybe finding out. I'm not seeing anyone, at least not anything serious. My chest pinched with the denial. I could almost picture Logan's hurt expression. And in any event, he's 27.
That's young, she clucked. Too young for you. You're a certain age now. Not one of those young fellas anymore.
I'm not that old, I protested, although her words made me feel every one of the years separating me and Logan.
You know, after my Roger passed on, I never once looked around. Didn't even occur to me.
Her words reminded me of Walter's quiet judgment. Why did everyone seem to expect me to pack away my sex drive in mothballs, give up the chance of companionship? Was that really the best path forward? But I didn't know how to even mention the word sex to Janice, so I just shrugged.
You have to wonder, what would Troy think of this?
The thought I'd had the previous weekend came back. He'd have been amused by Logan. Maybe they wouldn't have been tight friends, but I didn't see him as outright hostile to the notion. Never know. He might like Logan. He's a great...
No!
Janice recoiled like she'd been slapped.
He'd never approve. Don't you think his memory deserves more?
Well, fuck. That hit me in the most soft, raw part of my heart. The place that had never healed, never would. Hell if I even knew what Troy deserved. What he would have wanted for me. In the first awful days after Troy's accident, only two things had stopped me from joining him. Knowing that Janice would be all alone with no one to look after her, and the deep conviction that Troy would hate me for even considering it. And maybe my views on the afterlife were murky, but I'd known I couldn't let him down like that. He'd want me to live, I said quietly. Not sure of much beyond that.
Well, I am. He made vows to you. That counts for something.
It does. Most people in town didn't know about that. We'd never exchanged rings or thrown a big party, but when it had become legal here in Oregon, Troy had insisted on going to the courthouse, making it official. He'd been worried about my work. If I injured myself in the hospital, wouldn't let him make decisions, and he'd wanted to make sure the house was in both our names. Practical shit like that. Little did either of us know he'd go first, and I still felt immense guilt that I'd inherited, not Janice. It wasn't right, and she'd steadfastly refused any efforts by me to gift her any of it.
"Well, act like it."
She huffed her way over to her chair.
"Now, Curtis, I love you like you are my own, but we both know this is foolishness."
"We're friends," I said weakly, each word slicing me open. And her saying she loved me made it that much worse. We weren't affectionate, her and me, but I knew she cared, knew she meant well, and knew there might be some truth to her words.
"Well, I guess I can't stop you from having friends, but just think about what you're doing."
"I will." My throat burned. Raw feeling keeping up even once I was back in my truck. I knew what I needed to do, much as I hated it. I was about to pull out when the phone rang. Nash. I almost didn't answer it, but my spine tingled. "What's wrong?" My fears asked for me.
"Logan was in an accident, on his bike. He was...
Is he okay?" "Oh, no. No, this could not be happening. This shit day could not be getting this much worse."
"He's alive. It was a low-speed collision, thank God. No visible broken bones that we could see at the accident site. But they're taking him into Coos Bay for a full evaluation, especially for a concussion. Can't be too safe about a possible head injury."
"You tell his parents?"
"Yep. They're on their way. Thought you'd probably want to know."
"Yeah." I swallowed hard. Fuck. I could not deal with this. I was not prepared. Not again. Not ever. My truck pointed its way north, even without my permission. I made my way to the hospital in a daze, not sure how I managed to avoid getting pulled over by the highway patrol. The hospital was a large complex that served the whole southern coast, but I knew my way to the ER well enough. Bile rose in my throat on the walk from the parking lot. Memories flooded me, one after another. My folks, Troy's father, Troy. Nothing good ever came from this place. I spotted his parents right away in the ER waiting room. His mother's face was tear-streaked. Fuck. They should be with him. Unless... My boots carried me over toward them when the rest of me would have put down roots on the entry mat.
"What are you doing here?"
His father growled at me before I could even get my question out.
"Ed, he's Logan's friend."
Logan's mother patted him on the arm.
"You know as well as I do, they've got no business being friends. This is the wrong place for Logan. Wrong business and wrong direction for his life."
His tone suggested that I was the reason Logan had moved here, like I was the thing keeping him here, neither of which were true. I'd say that his condemnation stung, but after the day I'd had, one more hurt barely registered. So they didn't want the two of us involved? Join the fucking club. My conversation with Janice loomed large, full of harsh realizations I couldn't escape any longer. "How is he?" I kept my voice even.
"Conscious. They took him back for an MRI right away, though. Barely let us see him."
She bit her knuckles.
"Drivers around here have no sense. They don't respect cyclists."
Logan's father glared at me like I was responsible for the driving habits of Rainbow Cove.
"He never should have come here. He doesn't belong in this place,"
his mother added before I could respond about the bad drivers. I didn't know what to say in the face of their anger and sadness and frustration. I knew deep down that they were right that he didn't belong here. Logan was meant for better things, greater things, meant for so much more than me.
meant to have his big dreams. And those weren't gonna happen with me or the area tying him down. I'm not gonna hold him back, I said at last. Not gonna keep him here.